welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
How many of you know who he is? Go on, raise your hand up. I'm just interested. Oh, well, lots of you. Okay. Hallelujah. That was actually a better response than one of the 9 o'clocks during the week when I asked, anybody know who Steve Jobs is? And it wasn't overwhelming. But maybe you know, because of course he's been in the news as well. This week, on Wednesday I think it was, Steve Jobs died. He was age 56, and if you don't know any more about him, he'd been the CEO of Apple for a long number of years, and in fact he was one of the founders of the company. And you think, well, why am I talking about Steve Jobs? I mean, I don't even know if he was a believer. And I thought I would, because I think in his life, there's a message for us as the church. Okay, we're going to look at him, and we're going to look at a few famous quotes of Jesus Christ as well. And we're going to look at how that what he is and how they compare, if that's all right. There's not really a comparison, but you know what I mean. But Steve, his life was quite remarkable in the sense of the effect he had on the world. He founded his company Apple, I think it was in the early 1980s. He brought out the famous Apple Macintosh, which you may or may not have heard of. It was like a box computer. It was revolutionary in its time because it used a mouse, and it could do all kinds of things that people hadn't been able to do before. And people got very excited. And he had a vision to take the company in a different direction to what lots of other people were doing at that time. Unfortunately, at that time, he wasn't the CEO, so they decided that they didn't want to go in Steve Jobs' direction. They wanted to go in a more corporate direction, shall we say. And what happened was Apple got slowly more and more into debt and went quite downhill after initially being a very successful company. And in that time, we had the rise of Microsoft headed under Bill Gates. It was probably his time of really coming to the front. So it would have been interesting if Apple hadn't got rid of him. What would anything have been different? And as I talk about this man, I'm not saying to you this morning that he's an example in every aspect of his life. There's many aspects of his life that are not great. But sometimes, even with non-Christians, you can look at someone and be inspired by how they took their life and used the gift that God gave them, even if they don't know it's a gift that God's given them, how they used it to impact and influence and change the world. And I don't want to flood the world with new and wonderful technology, but I do want to flood the world with the message of the kingdom and the gospel. And one of Steve's things that I really admire was, there's even a quote about it. It's not one of the ones I've got with me this week, that he didn't make what people wanted. Or at least it was more along the lines of he didn't make what people wanted. He said, if you ask people what they want, by the time you can make it, they've changed their minds. Instead, what you've got to do is look ahead and see what they want that they don't know they want yet. And that's what was behind all his funny products. When he bought out the iPod, the music player, he was ridiculed because people said that's just not going to work. It was even in the days before iTunes, so it was harder to download music and put it on there. But he'd already thought of iTunes, he just hadn't got round to the technology for bringing that out yet. And obviously iPod took over the world, and lots of other music players have tried to do the same thing. But then, of course, he brought out the iPhone, which everybody ridiculed, because who wants a phone without buttons on it? Well, you look at all the phones that are out without buttons now that haven't got the name Apple on. Abel? yeah, prophetic, that's good. You can see that, again, he saw something that was coming. He saw people that wanted to use their phones in a different way to people had done so far. They wanted it to be more useful than anything that he could do. Initially, actually, he partnered with Motorola, but it didn't work very well. Until Apple did it, and they just did it his rather unique way. And then, of course, they brought out things like I'm using here, the iPad. And guess what? When they brought out the iPad, the world said, what is that? Nobody wants a big iPod Touch. Quite funny that they're ridiculing one of his products with one of his previous products that they'd already said people didn't want, but did. But they said, it's just a big iPod Touch. Nobody's going to use that. And, of course, they've sold millions and millions worldwide. And it's been an incredibly successful product. He's the 42nd richest man in America. And the company is, I think, the wealthiest company in the world now, Apple. Other aspects, you know, I mean, Bill Gates is is the philanthropist. Steve Jobs doesn't give much away, whereas Bill Gates is someone who's been quite the philanthropist in everything he does. So let's have a little bit look at a little bit further. I want to look at some of the quotes from this man who's sort of had this effect on the world. Here's one, very relevant at this moment. This was said after he knew that he'd got cancer. Being the richest man in the cemetery doesn't matter to me. Going to bed at night saying we've done something wonderful, that's what matters to me. I think a few Christians could get that vision. It's kind of a vision beyond our lives and a vision beyond our immediate circle, isn't it? It's so easy just to focus on the people immediately around us or even just on our families and ourselves. And Jesus came to give us a compassion, and he still gives us a love here in our hearts that's to reach out beyond. You know, it's no good being the happiest Christian in the graveyard. Put it that way round. What we need to do is something wonderful. And what's the ultimate in wonderful is enabling people to hear the voice of God. A bit like we were singing at the end there, heaven is calling you, can you hear the voice of God? The most important thing in anybody's life ever is to hear the voice of God. If you don't know the Lord this morning, and I'm sort of looking around the congregation to see people, I'm not sure who they are, but if you don't know the Lord this morning, you can hear the voice of God calling you into his kingdom. And if you know the Lord, you need to hear the voice of God daily speaking into your life, because it builds you up and it encourages you and moves you on. Steve Jobs went back to Apple in about 98. After did I tell you he kicked him out? Yeah, I did tell you that. They'd kicked him out, but in 98 he went back to Apple because they bought out a company that he'd formed after he left Apple called Next Computers. He also was part of Pixar. Did you know that? He's credited on Toy Story. He was one of the movers behind changing the technology to get that Toy Story to work. It was very innovative at the time. He's also, I think, the largest individual shareholder on Disney. It's another side to him. It was because he was a creative person, I guess. And so he was at Apple and brought Apple back from the brink of bankruptcy from 98 through to today, 2011. But he was diagnosed with cancer in 2004. And I think there's a message there that the last 7 years of his life, which are perhaps some of the most world impacting with technology, were with the knowledge that he had cancer and that he had pancreatic cancer, which is obviously not a very good one to have anyway. The prognosis on pancreatic cancer is never good. But he just rose up, did something. Let's have a look at what else. Be a yardstick of quality. Some people aren't used to an environment where excellence is expected. I think we need to cultivate that around us, don't you? Yes. Firstly, in our lives, we should aim for the best. Yeah? The very best that we can do, whether it's a student at university, at school, in a workplace, with our business, whatever it is, we're aiming for the best, the standard of excellence. Because Jesus didn't come to bring a mediocre gospel. He bought the best. Jesus didn't send some sidekick angel to die for that lot on earth. He sent the best. He did his best. He came of excellence, and out of excellence we ministered to others. One of the reasons Apple has grabbed the imagination of the world is because he always wanted excellence in his product. He always wanted a wonderful design that looked good. You know, people like that kind of thing. And sometimes we've got to be thinking a bit like him, because we have a product. I know it's not the way we normally think about it. It's quite a crude thing. But we do have a product. It's called the gospel. But sometimes we market the gospel, again, to use his language, we market the gospel in such a bad package that everybody's turned off. And yet what we have is of excellence. It's the very best in the world. You know, and sometimes we've just got to think a bit ahead and say, well, how will people be able to see the truth? Yes. What way can we present something that enables people to say, I need that? Yes. And it starts with every one of us as an individual. You know, what's happening in our lives that other people can look at and say, that's good. Yes. Because what we have is good.
Yes.
You know, St. Paul wrote, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the gift of God for salvation for those who believe. First for the Jews and then for the Gentiles. I am not ashamed. And sometimes we get a bit ashamed to mention Jesus. It's the very best thing in the world.
Yeah.
And there is a church culture out there that is, that one of the reasons it is like it is because we are ashamed of who Jesus is. And we are ashamed of talking about Jesus in case somebody gets upset, or more truthfully sometimes, in case somebody thinks we're a bit weird. Yeah, that's right. Or that they might judge us. Well, they judged him. They thought he was an idiot. And he was publicly ridiculed. And yet, as he died this week, newspaper after newspaper, after report, are talking about what a wonderful creative mind he had, what an innovator he was. President Obama is coming out with, you know, what a loss it is to the world to lose such creativity and innovation. And it is. We mustn't just think, oh, he wasn't a Christian, it doesn't matter. He was a valued part of the planet. He was a man that brought things into the world and brought ideas. But we have something far more. Here's another one of his quotes. Do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water, or do you want a chance to change the world? Now, the context of that was, it says a little bit there, he was talking to John Sculley, who at the time worked at Pepsi, and he wanted John Sculley to come and work at Apple. So Pepsi, sugared water. So he says to him, do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water, or do you want a chance to change the world? It gives you an insight into a man that thought ahead. But we Christians need that kind of view. Do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water, just having an ordinary life, just having something a little bit sweet, just getting on with it, nothing much happening? Or do you want to change the world? I mean, praise God that the 12 men that were inspired by the life of Jesus Christ didn't just want a quiet, ordinary life. They knew they were here to change the world. Amen. Jesus said, go and make disciples in all the world. All Christians, even ones in Scarborough, we should have a world vision. Yeah. Every person is called to a world vision. And then you find within that what God has called you to do as an individual. All that I know is it's something that's going to be excellent. If you plug into it, there's an excellent plan for your life. Amen. Not a boring life selling sugared water. Hallelujah. It's something far beyond that. Yeah? Here's another one. This is a bit of a long one. Here's to the crazy misfits. Oh, here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the one who sees things differently. They're not fond of rules. You can quote them, disagree with them, glory or vilify them, but the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward, and while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the ones who are crazy enough to think that they can change the world are the ones who do. Now, I particularly like that bit at the bottom. The ones who are crazy enough to think that they can change the world are the ones who do.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs was crazy enough to think he could change the world, and he did. There's a lot of other people that have been in his footsteps. They're usually a little bit mad, a little bit on the edge of insanity, according to the rest of the world, but they believe something about themselves. Well, we need to believe something about ourselves. I have been called and chosen for a purpose. I am a child of the living King. I am loved by the Father in heaven. I have a call and a destiny and a purpose. And I'm crazy enough to think I can change the world. Hallelujah. Because the world does change.
That's right. That's
people
right.
think it doesn't. People think that nothing changes. Oh, but it does. People are out there framing the way people think every day. All of them with an agenda. You've got you've got people from different religious beliefs. They have an agenda. You've got people from different cultures. You've got people who have chosen an alternative gay lifestyle who have an agenda to change the world. Well, we have an agenda. At the top it says, seek first his kingdom. The second bullet point says, and his righteousness. Hallelujah. That's our agenda, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And we're crazy enough to believe that as we do it, all these other things will be added unto us as well. So my question to you this morning is, are you crazy?
Yes.
I know I was looking straight at you, Chris, but I was addressing everybody. Are you crazy, Chris?
Need I answer?
Yes, absolutely. Who's crazy in this place?
Yeah.
Woo. Come on, who believes that this little church, this little bunch together, we can do something that makes a difference in the world?
Come on.
Amen. What does that mean? It means work. It means something positive in the lives of other people. I mean, Jesus did say you are to love others, prefer others more than yourself. Wow. He said you're to love your enemies. Wow. When these things are so simple and so basic and so radical, still, 2,000 years after he said them, we sometimes have sort of anesthetized them into little church statements. You know, loving your enemies means being nice to the person that pushed in the queue in front of you. No, loving your enemies means pouring your life out for someone who hates you. Ooh, wow, that's a bit tough. But we're also a bit crazy. We're crazy enough to believe that lives are being changed in Scarborough by a people who will raise up and say yes to Jesus. We're crazy enough to believe that though things may happen around us that don't seem great all the time, there is a master plan in what God has over our lives. Amen. 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 We're crazy enough to believe that we're here to make a difference. Yeah. Oh, to be the difference that makes a difference.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Here's another one of his quotes. Almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. Remembering that you're going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You are already naked. There is no reason not to follow your heart. I mean, that's Steve Jobs' quote. And we're not going to follow our heart. We're going to follow Jesus and the desires he places in our heart. If we just follow our hearts, just do what we want to do, well, the heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. But what he's getting at is following what is on the inside of you. And if you know the Lord, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. And it's daring to go for something that just seems a little bit embarrassing. That's up there. Like you might fail. But remember, you're going to die one day. This is the cheery message this week. Okay? Unless the Lord comes back and we're all caught up in the heavenlies, there is one certainty in every single person in this room, and that's we're going to die, and we don't know when it is. It might be next week. Will you be pleased with what you've done so far? Because it could be next week, or next year, or it could be in 50 years, or it could be in 90 years. Projected lifespans are such that he's probably going to be 100 and something. Trying to imagine a wrinkled old Alex right now. But would you be pleased? If over your Sunday lunch today you choked on something and died, would you be pleased with all the previous years? If anybody does, they're really going to get me, aren't they? The rest of the... But it could happen. You could be run over tomorrow. Will you be pleased with all the days and weeks and months that have gone before? Will you think, yes, I live to my full? Because that's how I want to be. I'm not talking about you never take days off. Living life to the full is about having days off and having fun and enjoying the life that God gives you, following the things you want to do, following your heart, going for it, stepping out of the box, not just getting in the rat race. I don't know why that's the rat race, but it is today. I tell you why. There's an old advert in 1984 from Apple. I'm really coming out as an Apple fanboy today, but there you go. And in it, they was when they were advertising the Apple Macintosh that I was talking about earlier, and they were taking a dig at the fact that all the PCs were beige and boring, and everybody just thought the same way. That's the way we do it. We use an IBM computer, and we have a Windows-type thing. I think it was DOS then. And they took a clip from 1984, you know, the book or the film by George Orwell, and they had a Big Brother-type screen, and the person at the front was talking about how wonderful and how colourful life was, and of course it wasn't. It was all beige. It was all beige and boring. And everybody was just trunching along like this in the rat race. We'll just do this because this is what we've been told to do. I mean, you've got to think like that about church stuff too. Come on. Don't just do something because Pastor Paul said or Pastor Chris said or Kate said or Shona said something and there happened to be a leader in the church. We've got to think. Think and take hold of what's being said and saying, how does that affect me? How am I going to grab hold of that? Hallelujah. How am I going to make Jesus know more effectively? How am I going to love people? What can I do? So, yeah, in this advert, they're just marching along. and sitting listening to this boring thing. Although looking back at the advert, because I took a glimpse this morning as I was praying through stuff, I thought, oh, I remember that. The guy on the screen now looks a bit like Steve Jobs, which I thought was a little ironic. It wasn't then, because he had long hair then. It was 1984. And anyway, suddenly, the Apple come in, and it's a woman with red shorts on. You know, because it's colour in the world. And the sort of the armed forces are chasing after her. Chomp, 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 chomp. And she comes in a red hot pants sort of thing. And she's got this big hammer, and she's whirling, and she's running down the middle of them like this. And she whirls this great big hammer and lets it go, and smash, the screen goes. I'd show it to you, but it's so rubbish, the quality. You just see a blur over there on the screen, so you've had to have my dramatic version instead. And the advert finishes, really. It was just saying, come on, think different, break out the box. You know, we've got to wear red hot pants. I was just thinking, who am I looking at? Is this a direct word? Put on the red hot pants and carry the hammer. You know, smash the dull old way of thinking. If you're listening on the download recording, that's good, because nobody else is here. They're all joking about wearing red hot pants. So, oops. Oh, dear. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Right. There's no reason. I'm going to read that one again because I like this one. Because I'm also reminded, not am I going to die, but that I have. Yeah? I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. So what am I worried about? Why am I worried about what people think when I'm already dead? You know, when you're dead, it doesn't really matter. Alive in Christ, dead to self. So almost everything, all eternal expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death. I have been crucified with Christ. They fall away. They have no longer got a grip on our lives. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go on to the next bit. Who's that then? It's remarkable I could find a photo of him, isn't it? We all recognise a photo of Steve Jobs. We all recognise a photo of Jesus Christ, even though we have no idea what he looks like. Although that's a little sneaky because he's smiling. And when I did an online search for pictures of Jesus Christ, he tends to have, in a lot of online pictures, he looks very solemn. And tends to have a sacred heart in an awful lot as well. There was one that I was going to use that I really liked. It was Jesus in a leather jacket and an earring. And sunglasses. It's too low res though, so you know. So what about Jesus? What? I mean, he died 20 years plus before, in terms of his lifespan, before Steve did. And his ministry, and he knew he was going to die as well. Like Steve knew that he'd got cancer and that his time was limited. He knew that his time was limited when he started his ministry. He probably even knew he'd got about 3 years. 3 years. 3 years to change the world so much that more people will know the name Jesus Christ today than Steve Jobs. Even though he was born in an obscure place with no technology. I mean, that's remarkable. He was born in Bethlehem, a tiny little no place. You know, it was smaller than foxholes. Is that possible? More out of the way than Scarborough. And yet, just like Scarborough, it became the centre of the universe. Hallelujah. And he grew up, and his ministry began in Israel, which was just a backwater of the mighty Roman Empire. You know, Rome was the place to be, not Jerusalem. Nobody wanted to be in Jerusalem. They let Herod stay in charge of the place because it wasn't that important. They sent Pilate to take over in Jerusalem later on because, you know, well, he can go down there, send him down there. Nobody's worried about that place. And yet something happened, something in his message, something in what he did that changed the world. What did he do? probably more than anything else, he died and rose again. But let's have a look at some of Jesus' quotes then. We don't normally do Jesus like this. You know, we look at life of somebody and look at famous things they said. So I thought, well, let's do a bit of a Jesus morning and have a look at some of Jesus' quotes that are well known. And these are some that are well known, or some more than others. If any of you wants to be my follower, he will have to deny doing with his life what he wants. He will have to take up his cross of sacrifice every day in order to follow me. Whoever wants to live his life for himself will lose everything. But whoever is prepared to sacrifice his life for me will find true salvation. I think what I do recognize between just a man and the Son of God is quotes that are outrageous. They aim for things far beyond what we think we want. He's putting something out there. He's putting something that's way, way, way beyond what we think we want. He'll have to deny himself. He'll have to take up his cross. Whoever will follow me will lose everything. That's tough. Following Jesus is not some convenient thing. It's not like getting the latest iPhone 4S. Because you fancy it and you'll have it for a few years. Following Jesus is for life, for death, for life. It's major. But it's also the best decision you can ever make. And why has this been going on for so long? Because of the fact that he made such radical statements. And it's only when we start to forget that Jesus was so radical, so out of the box, so different in the things he said, the church just starts to become normal, and fear and embarrassment and thinking that we're not the most significant thing on the planet happens. You say, well, that's a bit arrogant, isn't it? No. I tell you what, I've got Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, living in me. You saying that's not significant? You bet your bottom dollar. Well, you shouldn't, because you shouldn't bet, but you bet your bottom dollar that it is true and it's significant. Here's another one of Jesus' quotes. Let the kingdom of heaven and living a right relationship with God be your priorities. Then everything else you need will be given to you as well. So don't worry about what will happen tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. You have enough to think about today, and that is true for every day. That's from the Truth Version. I use that one because it's slightly different. These are so famous, these quotes. If I read the famous ones, it just goes in one ear and out of the mouth, or the other way around, or something, but it never actually registers. You know, we're so used to some of these things. They're just, that's that Jesus thing. No, this is life. This is world-changing. This is radical. This is far greater than an iPad, you'll be pleased to know. Let the kingdom of heaven and living in a right relationship with God be your priority. Oh, for a church where that's true, eh? I'm including myself in that. Lord Jesus, work in me. The number of times I do stuff for me and not for those two priorities. Now, in those, the great news is God gives you these other things as well. And that's what he's saying. Then everything else you need will be given to you as well. And he's a generous father. He's a generous and giving God. He wants to give you and give us amazing things to have a wonderful life. So let tomorrow worry about itself. If we could just trust Father, life would be a lot easier. Let's just trust him. Let tomorrow worry about itself. He's not talking, I don't believe there, Jesus, about not planning ahead and not working out where God's taking you and understanding the plan of God on your life. He's just saying, don't worry about it. Don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow sort itself. Because what's best is it's not just going to sort itself. God's already there. He's gone ahead of us. He's in charge. He's not just thinking ahead. He's already ahead. He knows exactly what we're going to want in 4 months because he's already there. He's not got to do a kind of a Steve Jobs divination on what people might want and come up with an iPad and think, well, try that. Wow, it worked. God knows. He knows what you want in 4 months or 4 years or 40 years, and he's already planning and ahead of you. He just says, come on, put me first, and it's all going to work out. Don't worry about tomorrow. You might not have enough money. You might be sick. There might be your family are not right. But don't worry about it. Put it into God's hands. Because if you worry about it, it just makes you sick. It just makes you ill. You know, my father's ill or my mother's ill, and I don't know what's going to happen. Well, try and trust the Father, because even by worrying about it, it's not going to make any situation better. It's just going to make you sicker and you more frustrated and you. Well, I want to get married someday and I don't know if I'm ever going to get married. Well, maybe you won't, or maybe you will, but you're not going to get there quicker by worrying. You're just going to get there sicker. You have enough to think about today. What am I doing today that glorifies God? What am I doing today that prioritizes Jesus? It's a good day to ask this, because we can all feel good because we're all here. What have I done today? I went to church. Here's another one of Jesus' quotes. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Amen. Hallelujah. It's interesting. I found another Steve Jobs quote, and this is what he said. I'm convinced that about half of what separates the successful entrepreneurs from the non-successful ones is pure perseverance. I thought, wow, that fits really, really well with that. You know, just keep going. What separates a church that's seeing people saved from a church that's not seeing people saved? Perseverance. Perseverance through the times when you've still got empty seats. What separates a church that's got an amazing building in a town that's effective in as a tool in reaching out and a church that's not? Perseverance. Yes, that's part of our vision. But did we know how long we would have to persevere in that vision of thanking God for the building and moving towards the building and taking up building offerings and doing everything else? I don't know if we did. I had an inkling. But you try to ignore inklings like that because we like things quick. But we persevere. What's the difference between your friends getting saved and not being saved? Perseverance in prayer. What's the difference between God moving in a town and not moving in a town? Perseverance in prayer. What's the difference between the presence of God coming in meetings and not coming in meetings? A people who persevere in prayer. Because what is certain is if you are a church that's making a difference, there will be people we don't even know about that will intercede on forces other than that we don't know about to try and clamp it back down again. The enemy loves to, well, doesn't love, I suppose love is a funny word, but what he wants to do is shut stuff like this down. He doesn't like churches that persevere and believe. So he has to come in and kick you in the teeth. He said, well, he's under my feet. Yeah, that's where he's supposed to be. But sometimes through lack of believing or perseverance, the enemy gets in through a chink in our armor. What do? We go on. If the church really thought like this, I'm not just saying this church, but all church, though this church is included. If all church thought like this, really, we'd have very little work left to do. The Great Commission would be just about complete, I reckon. But we give up, retreat into something safe, move on, try something different. Persevere. Hallelujah. Here's the Steve Jobs one again. Because an entrepreneur is someone who does something different. All right? Specifically in business, we're talking about with an entrepreneur. But we can be entrepreneurs in the faith. We can bring something different to the world that is successful. Because we're listening to what the Lord is saying. And we'll get fresh ideas and creative ideas. And we'll think of innovative things to do. I was talking to Phil Coles in the week. And he was telling me about his eBay business. I hope you don't mind me saying this because I'm saying it already and I haven't asked you, but there you go. It's just have a look, see if he's glaring at me. No, no, there's a sort of a smile. But one of the things that really impressed me about him was that he believed he'd heard from God, and he got into something he'd never done. He was entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
He didn't know that much about eBay business, and he had all kinds of and his website selling business. But it was all, and he's had all kinds of issues and problems and things. But basically, it's successful.
Yeah.
It's working, and he's had some struggles, and he's having a bit of a struggle with some stuff right at this very minute with another competitor. But the thing that really impressed me about him was he's persevering. He's not giving up. He's going on.
Hallelujah.
And we need that kind of attitude in the church. Like Steve Jobs, what kept him going when he was sacked from Apple? You'd think he founded the company, he got this wonderful vision that was later going to be proved right, and he gets kicked out for it. He could have given up. He could have got depressed. He could have looked down. But he decided to persevere. And we've got so much more than he ever had. So much more. Gifting and talent and everything. How about this one for a famous quote? So, in the same way, because God loved the people of the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die eternally, but have gifts, God's gift of eternal life instead. So God did not send his Son into the world to condemn everyone, but to save people from condemnation through their faith in him. I bet you know where that's from, even though the wording might be slightly unfamiliar because I took it from the truth again. So in the same way. In the same way as what? Because in the Greek it says, so God loved the world. All right, and it's not God loved the world so much. It means so, because of what's just happened. And if you look it up in your Bible, in John chapter 3, you'll find that Jesus has just been talking about Moses. And there's this strange story, really, of Moses in the desert when people are dying because of being bitten by snakes. Bitten by snakes and dying. What would that represent? What do you think? What do snakes normally represent? What is biting? What does it mean? It's like, yeah, maybe, yeah. I'm making you think, so they're just preaching it. Naughty, isn't it? Not much thinking there, really. But anyway, then there's this really odd story of where, well, sort of odd, when you first look at it, where Moses makes a sort of a bronze snake on a stake, and he has to lift it up. Which is odd, because it's a snake, I always think. But it's a snake. It's still the symbol of the medical authorities today. That's what it is. When you see that snake on a crossy thing, that's what it is. It's Moses' snake. Because he had to hold that up, and when people looked at it, they were healed. I mean, that's an odd story, isn't it? It's kind of an odd story. Something on a stake being held up, and when people look to it, they get healed. Or maybe it's not so odd then. Maybe it was pointing forward prophetically to something then. So when something's going to be lifted up on a stake and people look to that something, they will be healed. Hallelujah. They will be healed. The Greek word for healed that's used in the Bible for salvation is the same word. It's sozo. So when you see in passages in Scripture about being saved, the word being used is sozo. Healed and restored and forgiven and completely renewed in God. It's not just, oh, I'm saved now, I'm going to go to heaven. It's about everything. It's about, I'm saved now, I'm going to go to heaven. And right now, my body is getting healed and my body is getting sorted out and my whole life is getting renewed. Because God loved the world. So, just like the snake on the staff in the desert that Moses had, you see, Jesus is referring to something that everybody would have known. We don't know about it. We have to go through the story again. Everybody in that culture knew that story. He was taking something that was culturally relevant to them. I suppose in a strange way, a bit like me using Steve Jobs this morning, because it's something that nearly all of you have heard about, and saying, hey, have you ever thought about what we can learn from that? You know? But then he says, but like that was lifted up far more than what I'm doing here, because it was a prophetic action on Moses' behalf that was pointing forward to Jesus on the cross. Says, just like that, in the same way God loved the people of the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not die eternally. Now, it's interesting because you sort of think Jesus said that. Well, in most Bible versions you'll read, he does say that. But actually, he probably didn't. It's probably John that wrote that. Jesus was talking about Moses, and then John says, so, just like that, the son had to be lifted up. Interesting thought. But at the moment, we'll keep it as a quote of Jesus. Whoever believes in him shall not die eternally, but have God's gift of eternal life instead. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save people.
Yes, 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 yes.
Sometimes people incorrectly talk. You know, why does God condemn people? God doesn't condemn anyone. God saves them. The world is already condemned. The world is already in a mess. God can't condemn the world. They're already there. By our own actions, by our own sin, by the own mess that we live in. It's not that God's gone and you're condemned. God's gone, I've got a plan for you. There's a plan of salvation. I've done something to rescue you. That statement, that's so well known. You see John 3:16 everywhere. But again, it's so radical. People just need to look to Jesus and what he's done for them, and they can be saved. Anyone here this morning that doesn't know Jesus, you can look to Jesus this morning. How do you do that? You say yes to him. Yes, I want to follow you. Yes, I want to come after you. If that's you, if there is anyone here in that position this morning, don't go home today without knowing what it's like to follow Jesus. Come down the front afterwards, have a chat with me, and we'll talk to you more. And I've got give you a package that will help you go on in God. Get you started. It's for you too. And if you are saved, it's for you too. Because God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son that you could have eternal life. Eternal life running in you, not just a place in heaven, though that's the best bit, but a place now in eternal life. In a sense, his life running through your veins, the blood of the covenant, what we did the other weekend. Hallelujah. That's all my quotes. I'll take a subtle look at my watch. Let's just go from here, knowing that we're a little bit crazy and that we really are called to change the world. Wouldn't that be awesome? A whole church of crazies. We could have a big response and call people forward, but I don't think that's what God wants to do this morning. It's just a quiet acknowledgement. Yeah, I'm just a bit crazy. I believe in Jesus. I'm just a bit crazy. I believe I'm significant because he is the significant person.
That's right.
I'm just a bit crazy in knowing that what I have within me is enough to change the lives of my friends and family and all the people around me and at my workplace. I'm just crazy enough to believe that it's worth reaching out for excellence in everything. Because by that excellence, I can demonstrate who the excellent one, who is Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.